It's time.
It's time.
It's time. It's time.
It's time.
Time.
It's time.
Time to think about the things that you otherwise wouldn't say. Lucky for us, these two will say anything.
Come on!
It's time for The Fawcast with Chris Williams and Mark Charter. The Fawcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Why pay 7% to list your home? Choose the flexible 5 or 6% plan for you at charterhouseiowa.com. Hear more from Mark following this episode.
Listen very carefully.
Shall we do this then?
No, just take it one time.
An audio experience unlike any other starts now.
Hey, it's Fawcast time. It's our first Fawcast of the, well, actually the season. So that means a lot of you might quit listening because we'll probably talk a little bit more about sports. Whatever Charter wants to do, it's the Charter House Real Estate Fawcast. Mark, real quick, are you hiring?
I'm hiring.
So yes. I saw that on Facebook. Do you want that public with the Fawkers?
Yeah, well, ironically,
maybe you don't want any of the Fawkers to
apply. I've already talked to a few people that know of me through the Fawcast. I mean,
they're wanting the job.
Yeah. So, the funny joke is we had somebody that sent me a Facebook message today, a female that I do not know in any way, but just from her profile picture looked attractive, which is not a bad
thing.
Mark,
you can't say that.
I can. And. No. Someone else in the office, because I passed them along, said, because I want them to join me on interviews, et cetera. And they said, well, that person's
who's
hired.
That? Who's part of the interview process?
KK. KK's coming along. I like to have an extra set of ears, listen to what they hear. That way I can
She's
spitball.
Like your, like, I mean, she's your, like, associate. Like, she's the eyes and ears of Mark Charter.
Well, she's the one that's there every day.
Yeah.
So anybody that comes on, they're going to be interacting with her.
Yeah.
More than any other agent.
Yeah.
So I figure
they're all
out and about
meeting with people.
Yeah. So if she likes them, then that's a good sign. Or if she doesn't like them, that's a bad sign.
She's a solid judge of character.
We hope. We'll find out. So now I'm looking to hire three or four.
Wow.
More
three
agents.
Or four.
Got to get the word about Charterhouse out there.
We're blowing this thing up. I love it.
In the streets, you know.
Yeah. So, I love it when small companies stick it to the man. It's a very big passion of mine. I guess being the small independent media company for 10 years, I've developed that a little
Should
bit.
We change our name? Stick it to the man, real estate. That's what we do around here. Yeah. Hey, Ross.
Ross Peterson loves sticking
What's
it to
up,
the man.
What's up, fellas?
How you doing?
I'm doing well, man.
You know, yeah. I think by far, from the feedback that we've received over several years of doing this, that Ross is by far most popular co-host.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank yeah, you really
man.
Are. They like you.
I appreciate that.
I think it's
That's
because...
That's really cool.
I think
you guys do a great job. That's fun.
The vast majority of our audience is Cyclone fans. And but Ross is a very tolerable yeah. Hawk fan.
Stomachable is what I call him.
I've heard that a lot.
You know,
I'll take
you're not,
it. That's
you're
a
not
good
a
compliment.
Jerk. You're not a jerk about
Thanks.
Your team. You're not an idiot. Well, you know, what you're talking
wait
about.
Wait a week. You guys had me on the right week.
I was going to say...
Probably.
After Iowa loses to Wyoming, let's see about that.
Well, yeah, and I am curious, Ross, on your opinion. We're going to talk about the upcoming game series since we are back in football season. But let me fire this tough one at you right away.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Now, you have studied the Iowa football program, I assume, a little bit.
Yeah,
going
a
into
lot.
This season,
a lot.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I've not. But as an outsider, what I see is no quarterback experience.
Yeah.
Unproven wide receivers, et cetera.
Totally.
Right? So when I look at the game in 2 weeks, Iowa State, I think to myself, Iowa State's going to win that game. Hmm. Now, is that logical based on Iowa's going to have good defense, they're going to have a good running game?
Yeah.
And we're going to learn a lot against Wyoming coming up.
The only, as a Hawk fan, I'd say this. The question mark at quarterback doesn't mean it's a negative. So let's wait to see what Nate Stanley provides. I'm with you. I'm skeptical about this. You're going to be a pretty one-dimensional team, and Iowa State, Chris and I have talked a lot about this. I think Iowa State's a much better team than they were last year. The only part of that this matchup that I think really favors the Hawkeyes is when Iowa's offensive line goes up against Iowa State's defensive line, Iowa should be able to win that battle. And you've got two really good running backs. Can you be one-dimensional against Iowa State and win that game? I don't know. Their defense, Iowa's defense is going to be really good. And
yeah, they are.
The more I look at this, the more I realize they're going to be really good. The only problem—
They're good up front, so the secondary matters a lot less, especially in that league.
But that's what is going to get you here early on, is that your secondary is just not as good as those guys up front. And against Wyoming, you're going to be without Manny Rugumba. Even against Iowa State, you're just outmanned there. Iowa State's receivers are better than Iowa's secondary.
5-6 deep, Chris? You agree with that? Wide receiver?
Oh, yeah. At least. They could probably go more, honestly.
Mark, on a
because I don't know, like, the 3 and 4 men, I don't know what the big difference is between them and the 5 and 6. Like, there's a drop-off after 1 and 2. You've got Lazard and Butler. They're stud. And then, I mean, Deshaunte Jones in the slot. He's a stud. He led the team in touchdowns.
And you might
be
opening a game plan up with a tight end that you haven't had in a while.
They haven't had a tight end.
How are they utilizing Trevor Ryan this year?
Well, he's like a forgotten about guy because he had such a terrible season last year for him.
Even on special teams, Chris. I saw him mentioned as like a...
He'll be their punt returner. I'm sure he'll be a kick returner. He got beat out. I mean, Deshaunte Jones just beat him out.
When I talked to Randy and Tommy, they weren't sure that Trevor Ryan would be the punt returner. You think that he'll be the guy? Because it seems to me like he's the one you'd trust back there here week 1.
I'm not sure
about it,
but I think he will be. Yeah. Him or... You know, they've tinkered with Lazard just because he's so sure-handed back there, but I don't like that.
You know, one of the sad things about...
And Trevor's more explosive than Lazard, too. Yeah.
You mentioned him. One of the sad things as far as I'm concerned, the excitement of football and how football is trending, is you say he might be our kick returner, and I'm kind of like, eh. You know, so many touchbacks anymore. It's just becoming a non-exciting part of the sport.
Yeah, but there's that potential of it, Mark. You know, to me, it's... It's like having a home run hitter on the bench. You've got a guy there that it might not happen. It's not going to happen every time, and it's certainly not going to happen most of the time. But every now and again, that's the type of stuff that wins a ball game for you. You follow the lines. You know this. Turnovers are number one. Special teams, touchdowns, defensive touchdowns, stuff like that. That swings a game in such incredible ways.
There's a stat about Bama last year, how many non-offensive touchdowns they scored.
A lot.
It's insane.
It was in the teens.
Yeah.
Like, I want to say it was like 15 or 16. Just incredible.
Yeah. So, Mark, going back to your question, on the big picture, I totally see what you're saying. The optimistic Hawkeye fan in me says... that the offensive line and the running game are going to be enough to put a couple of touchdowns on the board, and this defense is going to have enough to hold off Iowa State, and the Hawkeyes win a very close game. But that's the Hawkeye in me. So
and the huge huge unknown, like, in that game, as the quarterback goes, typically the team goes.
Yeah.
You're going to have a guy making his first road start in as hostile of an environment as you're going to get. So that cannot be easy to do.
That brings me to this little... So, like, I was telling Mark before we started recording this year, because we've had to replace Gray, you know.
Easily.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And...
Don't worry. He quit listening the day he quit Fanatic, so we're fine.
When I haven't been up there as much, right?
Yep.
I haven't been covering the media stuff nearly as much as I have. But I have been keeping in touch with my birdies quite often, probably more so to make up for that. And the one thing that they're all very quietly confident about is Iowa State's defensive line.
Okay.
So we'll see. That doesn't... I mean, I've had birdies tell me stuff before, and then they get hit for the first time, and it's like, oh, crap. Okay, we're not as good as we thought we were. But Lima's legit. I'm very confident in that. I think he's a future NFL guy at some point. Jaquan Bailey had a great freshman year, and I think he'll carry that over at the end. And then here's the deal that that makes me a little bit optimistic, is the guys like the Vernell Trents and the Spencer Bentons and the J.D. Wagners. It's like, for so long, Iowa State would have D tackles and stuff who get kicked off the team before their junior year. So then it's like, oh, we have another crop of freshmen coming in who are going to have to play as redshirt freshmen who shouldn't be out there. Well, this is the first year in a really long time since that they've had fifth-year guys playing. Now, they're not starters, and they're not all Big 12, but they're actual, like, guys who have
experienced
been able,
dudes.
They've been able to develop over the course of 5 years.
Makes sense.
It's what you need. And they actually have some of those guys. So we'll see. I don't want to get everybody's – Because I haven't seen Ray Lima play. So for me to come in here and say he's going to be the, you know, the next Brent Curvey, that's difficult to say.
See, I need more Chris in my life because, Mark, the closer we get to kickoff, I really do. I mean, I had a conversation this morning, and it's like, the Hawks probably 10-2. And Saturday morning, I will be at breakfast convincing myself that this team is going to take down Alabama in the national title game. They can't be beaten. Nate Stanley's probably going to be a two-year guy and then be one of the top picks in the NFL draft. You know, this year he's going to have to hand the ball off a lot and figure out who his targets are. Well, so next year is probably the year he throws for 3,000 yards. And
Chris, I want to temper
my expectations.
I've done enough post-game shows with Iowa State losing to FCS teams where I'm like, I don't even want to think about the Iowa game. Let's just get past Saturday.
Get through this.
Just get past you and I.
What about a name we've talked about in our program before you didn't mention? Matt Leo. What has he done this offseason?
So
they just moved him, didn't they?
They moved him from the inside to the outside, which I think is a good sign. I think that's a good sign.
Impact player?
Eventually, yeah. I think midseason he will be.
Kind of all part of that same conversation, Chris, right? You brought in a couple of seasoned D tackles, and so that allows you to put him out there.
Yeah, and it tells me that the Vernell Trents of the world and those guys are probably playing better than, I think when they put Leo there, it was out of necessity, not out of want.
Yeah.
You want that guy coming off of the end if you can. So here's the deal that I look for with Leo, that I look for with Tongamoa. And Tongamoa, I mean, I think he'll play sparingly on Saturday. I think they'll hope to get him out there for 15 snaps against Iowa. They're going to need him against Iowa with that offensive line.
And in order to use him against Iowa, you need to get him some experience against you and I. Is that kind of your theory
him
here?
Like, let him see the live bullets for an awful cliche. But
no, do you get him into live action?
Yeah, there you go. That's probably better.
The Randy and Tommy, again, when I kind of posed that question to them about him playing, Randy didn't think he'd see any action this weekend. Thought it was way too early.
I think that a week ago that was probably the case. He's in better shape than they thought he would come in. Yeah. He's still not anywhere near
what they expected.
If Iowa were coming to town this weekend, he would not play. Like, he just, they're hopeful that they can get him. And this would be a case where Iowa State's up by a couple touchdowns late. They're hopeful they can get him in there for 5 to 10 snaps. And then that he can actually help a little bit against Iowa. But like with Leo and Tongamoa, I feel like those guys, if they're ready to go like mid-October, where they can really help you, so be it. But Leo's been there throughout the spring, but you guys have to realize he's barely played football in his life.
Yeah.
He didn't start playing football until he went to junior college. And that shows you how big of a freak the guy actually is. So my point is, Mark, I mean, would it surprise me if he had 2 sacks against Northern Iowa? Absolutely not. Yeah. But what does he do when he's not getting a sack? Is he blowing?
Yeah.
You know, is he in the right spot? That type of deal. That's what I don't know about.
Out of all the positions in sports, okay, if you're a D-end, now, yes, do you need to know the game of football? Do you need to know play calls? All of that helps. But on a lot of plays, especially a drop back pass, and you're a D-end and you're a huge dude, it's just be a huge dude. Just push and push and push and try to tackle a guy. It's as simple as anything gets in sports. So that's a position where you don't have to know everything to be a DN.
Well, Jason Berryman was a great example.
Yeah. Just freak. Huge.
Yeah. And he was a freak. He didn't really know his assignments very well, but he was so good that you had to put him out there. And that's why, like, I'm glad that he's on the outside and they didn't have to play him.
Yeah.
At 3 technique or anything like that, because I can't imagine that would have gone well.
Ross, everyone knows Josie Jewell is the big stud. Who are the other couple of studs for Iowa this year? Who's going to stand out
defensively?
Yeah,
up front, your Nathan Budget is the guy, and they're kind of moving some guys around too. So Matt Nelson's one of those big DNs that they had last year. They've got a couple of guys that look like they should be on that basketball team, right? Like 6'8".
Yep.
Don't talk about Anthony.
Well, yeah, and Anthony's still on the outside.
I know, but he's former Iowa State commit. I really wanted
really?
Him.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No. Yeah, he's like 6'8".
He committed to Iowa State, and we're all like, oh, man, but his dad played at Iowa. I hope Iowa doesn't offer. And the second Iowa offered, he left. But I knew from the day he committed that he would be a stud.
Yeah, so you got Budget and Nelson and Lattimore that'll be the guys on the inside. The one that everybody, Anthony Nelson on the outside, and then everybody is jacked up about this, A.J. Epenesa. How many snaps we see him on Saturday, I have no idea. I think maybe the Tongamoya type thing. Like maybe you see 10, 15 snaps.
Right?
Think, big guy, very athletic. Like, they think he's a good rusher out on the end.
I feel like he's more ready than that.
I hope he is, Chris, but I mean, we're talking about Ferentz, who doesn't necessarily...
That's right. You know the Ferentz-isms more than I do.
Yeah, and playing those freshmen, you've got to be really good to get out there.
I think he's pretty good, though. I mean,
And everybody says that, is saying that same thing. So that's a guy to keep an eye on. And then their linebackers are incredible, so...
He seems to me, Epinesa, like a rare talent that even in Iowa doesn't get very often.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's certain guys, when they just show up, you have to play them.
And he might be one of those guys.
Yeah,
Daniels is that way.
Yeah.
I mean, James Daniels is going to be your starting center. And when he was a freshman, they were.
Yeah, I remember you and I were freaking out. Why are they playing a freshman?
He must
Something
be
wrong.
He must be really good. Yeah, yeah. Or they're not very deep there. Right. So that kind of wraps it up. And then, again, your secondary is. You don't have Desmond King.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
So
a lockdown corner is valuable.
Here's what you do have. You have big corners out there.
Yep.
So that's that's one thing the Hawks, we haven't seen that in this state in a long time. You know, dudes out on the corner that are 6'1", 6'2". We'll see what that does, but that's what it looks like. Again, linebackers are your key there. You got Ben Neiman, Bo Bauer on the outside, Josie Jewell, who's very, very good. And that's it.
I think most people agree that Iowa State's likely going to win or needs to win this game against UNI.
Damn right
up.
They need to win.
I think so, too. And we'll talk about predictions for the whole season here coming up. I think Iowa State's going to be 4-2 going in with six games left. I'll tell you those two losses. But I want to know what your take is against Wyoming. You got Allen, which people are worried about. You just talked about the secondary. You don't have Desmond King. Iowa has not a long history, but they've had a history of losing some of these opening games to lesser opponents. Does Wyoming show a capability to kind of light up the scoreboard via the passing game?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you've got Chase Allen's a nightmare for this Hawkeye team. I mean, this is what Hawkeye defenses have struggled with guys like this for. What did I say? Chase Allen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
he's going to be a nightmare also, right?
Josh. Well, I'm just saying he might be the number one pick in the draft. Let's show him some respect, damn it.
Who, Chase Allen? Number one pick in the draft?
Chase Allen is the Iowa State tight
end. I know.
I think Darnold's going to be your number one pick.
So Josh Allen is a nightmare for this Hawkeye team. He's exactly the type of quarterback that is always going to pose problems, Mark. Like he's 6'4", and he runs... He's one of those dudes that is so much faster than he looks. He looks like he's lumbering when you watch the videos, right, Chris? But he's walking away from linebackers and DNs that are supposed to be really quick.
He
guys.
Does remind me of Roethlisberger a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like
quicker, though.
He's not as physically
imposing as Roethlisberger.
There you go, right.
But, like, just the way he throws it.
Cannon of an arm, man.
He just, like, I mean, if you were to think of anybody else to compare him to.
Yeah, Roethlisberger's probably that guy. That's a good point. But that when you watch his highlight video, like he gets out of the pocket quick, which he's going to need to be able to do because his line isn't great. He's going to have a true freshman at center.
Mm-hmm.
He lost, I think, his top three wide receiver targets. They don't have a good running back coming back. When we talked to their play-by-play guy, he said they'll run three running backs out there throughout the game. So they don't have a dude that's taken that job.
Yep.
So it's him on the offense. But he's good enough to beat you, especially when you're starting a couple of new cornerbacks. You won't have your best cornerback out there. You got a new safety with Gervais because Snyder's hurt. So 100% there is a potential that Wyoming wins this game.
Do you see a lot of deep balls from them? Is that what they're going to
try? Yeah, and again, in that with Chase Allen getting out of that pocket, that's one of the things. Josh Allen getting out of the pocket. Got Chase Allen on the brain for some reason.
Damn it, if Chase Allen transfers to Wyoming, I'm going to be pissed.
When Chase Allen gets out of the pocket, look out. It's going to be dangerous. No, when Josh Allen starts to scramble, that's when he's really dangerous because he's got a very accurate arm and he can flick it 45 yards easily.
I'm going to play Iowa in the under in this.
What's the line?
It's at 12. I like Iowa to cover the 12, and I like the under. I like it like a Iowa 31, Wyoming 14, 10 type
17.
Deal. Yeah, even I like Iowa by a couple.
What are you at for the number right now? 50?
52.
So even 31-17, something. You win that.
Yeah. I
think you're safe.
I'd be surprised if Iowa goes out there and puts up a ton of points.
Chris, can you, again, I don't gamble much. Could you just like parlay Iowa in the under all season? Can you do some sort of bet that says, I think Iowa will be.
I don't think that.
I think
available.
Iowa will hit the under nine times. I don't even need to see the number, and I'll tell you they're going to hit the under nine times.
Here's what you can do in that friend I'm always talking about, Mark and Ross.
Oh, yeah.
He went in on Friday night with all the college football futures that are currently listed, and he made like 36 bets.
Really?
Because you can go in and you can grab. So Vegas will put their, like, what they think the point spread will be, and you can bet it now.
Are you ever worried that your friend that you always talk about is just lying to you? I mean, do you ever worry, like, maybe maybe he didn't really place those 36 bets? No. How do you know that you're this
he
friend
can
of
absolutely
yours?
Prove it, and he will right now if you want to lean over to his computer, because he's always with us. That little number right
I'm
there.
I'm good, thanks. I got you. I believe you.
That little number.
Thanks, friend.
Friend has a problem. I don't even know where I was going with that, but I don't know. I just, this seems to me like we always do this with every, specifically it seems like with Iowa. We always will talk up this, and they're good, but like, and this just screams to me like we've weighed too much big of a hype out of Wyoming, and Iowa grinds it out. And I think there's a better chance that Wyoming just wins the game outright than Iowa like having to kick a last second field goal.
Yeah.
How about that?
Here you go. Let's make a bold prediction from each of the games.
Okay.
Iowa State. Something that you know, could be a little bold with this one. The Iowa game, Wadley. Right, I think he's going to carry the team this year. Great running back, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to say Wadley scores four touchdowns.
Wow.
On Saturday.
I'll go a bold prediction, but I'll go the opposite direction of what Mark is saying. I actually think that they use Butler a lot also.
Okay.
I think both of those guys go over 100 yards on Saturday, and I'll say each one gets two touchdowns rather than one guy gets four.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Williams?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm with Ross. I side with Ross on that one. I think that it would be very advantageous for Iowa to use him as much as possible because it makes Iowa State have to scout him. And I do think that Iowa's concerned about Iowa State this year based off of what I've been hearing. I mean, I think Iowa. Maybe this is the clone homer in me, but I think Iowa State has Iowa's attention. And why else would Brian Ferentz come on KXNO and single Iowa State out the way that he did? It's like this team's won 3 games in 8 years, or 8 games in 3 years.
Yep.
And you're worried about them right now? I mean, it just...
That was just an off-the-cuff...
Yeah, right.
He just was responding to a question.
Sure.
That was just it came off the top of his head,
Chris. If you can get two guys out there and give that many more looks, then Iowa State the next week has to prepare for it. And that's very advantageous. That's why you see a lot of, or maybe they don't show as much too. You could go the opposite way.
Did you throw a bold prediction out there?
Me? You want me to have a bold my
for
bold
the,
prediction
for the Iowa game.
That Iowa wins by 17 to 21 points.
Wow.
Right in there. I think that Iowa will. I think Wyoming's just they're going to be outclassed in every spot on the field except quarterback.
Okay. Man, I hope.
Look at
that,
Wyoming.
I hope you're right.
Year.
I hope it's a comfortable game. I see it close at halftime, and Iowa stretching that out in the second half.
I haven't done all this research yet because I've saved it for our show tomorrow. But go if you want to look in deep into that game, go and look at what Wyoming did with a much better team last year in Lincoln in their season opener, and you'll feel a lot better about Iowa winning that game.
Yeah.
Because they were completely outclassed.
Chris, that's
the
one thing I keep trying to, you know, whenever somebody says, hey, this defense was not very good last year, you go, yeah, and look who they played. Like they were averaging, what, 40-some points a game or 30-some, and against Utah State of the world.
Yeah. So maybe I'm wrong on the under, though. Maybe Iowa will just go out there and just wildly get loose a couple times.
I think you're good with the under. 50 is a lot of points for this Hawkeye defense and offense.
Yeah, I agree.
I can already hear to the people now, what are you talking so much Hawks for on the
podcast? Yeah, sorry.
Well,
that's Ross's fault. All right,
let's go to Ames. Bold predictions for that game. I'm going to say that Iowa State scores. I don't know how bold this is. From people I've talked to, I guess it's bold. Iowa State scores at least 42 points.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean that's really bold, but I think that much like the Butler conversation, I do think that Campbell's going to try and make a statement. Mm-hmm. I think that I know personally from talking to him how sick he was about the first two games last year. Yeah. I don't think he was surprised at how people reacted, but I think it was a realization as how important those two games are.
Yeah.
As important as it is to win the Iowa game, it's that important to not lose to Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
And I think that Matt Campbell will absolutely, for two reasons, I think he wants the morale and the excitement to be as high as possible heading into Cy-Hawk week. But I also think that he's so loaded with skill players. There's an aspect of this where you want to keep everybody really engaged and really excited. And I think me as an Iowa State fan, I get tired of hearing about being loaded at wide receiver because we've actually heard that a lot over the last 10 years. And it really didn't mean anything because, A, you didn't have a line that could protect the quarterback, and B, the quarterback, even if he was protected, couldn't get the wide receivers the ball.
Yeah.
This is the most loaded group of wide receivers I think that we've ever seen at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. In like modern day, and don't yell at me about the Dirty 30 or anything like that, because I don't know. In modern day Iowa State, this is the most loaded group of capable dudes who, I mean, when you look at like Deshaunte Jones or even like a Hakeem Butler, those guys would be the best receiver on the team in a lot of those years. And they're, you know, and what about that one kid, the JUCO? I mean, he's a stud. So, like, they're loaded, and I think that they're going to do as much as they can to just have that be as vibrant of a week for Cy-Hawk. Because last year sucked, man. There's nothing worse than going on RVTV after you lose to Northern Iowa.
I know it's one
sucks
game.
Sucks for Iowa, too, because it just sucks the life out of that
for the
game.
State of a program, 1-0 and 0-1 is a massive difference.
What that zero represents.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's LSU,
yeah.
If you lose an opening week game to somebody like that, you lose to South Dakota State, mm-hmm. North Dakota State,
yep.
A directional
yep.
Michigan.
Yeah.
It's not a knock on any of those schools. If you lose a game like that, man, it absolutely sets the tone. I was doing Ted's podcast, and the question he posed to me was, you have to lose one of the games, Wyoming or Iowa State, as an Iowa fan.
Yeah.
I lose the Iowa State game.
Yeah.
Because there's so many excuses built. Ah, it's a crazy game. It's the in-state rivalry. Iowa State's getting better. You lose that opening game to Wyoming. As you guys know, you never get that taste out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. All season long, it's like, yeah, we could win, but we lost to Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back to the receivers. I said this when we started previewing the season, Chris. This is the best group of wide receivers that Iowa will see all season, and they face Ohio State. Iowa State is really deep at wide receiver, really talented.
I don't think they're deep. I think they're deep, but I think they're just as talented as they are deep.
Up top, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're in Lazard's the past, I think, when we said, like, oh, they're really good, it's like, oh, you have, like, five capable guys? Like, these are guys capable of starting.
Hawkeyes are deep. I mean, I can name seven guys at wide receiver.
It's just funny, man, and we've talked about it, so, just how different the teams are.
Yeah.
This is one of those, and it drives me nuts, too, because it's like, we had a Hawkeye fan tweet into us the other day, like, if you could combine these two rosters this year,
yeah,
like, how good would that Iowa/Iowa State team be? They'd
basically
be really good.
You could basically just take position groups. I really do think you would take almost all of Iowa's offensive line. Jake Campos would be in that argument. You would take Iowa
good
State's
Jones, maybe, but
you'd take Iowa State's quarterback.
Yeah,
you'd take Iowa's running backs. You'd take Iowa State's receivers. You would take Iowa's linebackers, defensive line. I think right now you'd take Iowa. That's probably the best conversation.
You'd take Iowa's front seven, and you take Iowa State's secondary.
Absolutely, yeah. And the only one that's really a conversation is probably defensive line.
I think running backs would be an interesting conversation. I'd still probably lean with Wadley because he's
With Wadley. I mean, you got 2,000 yard rushers coming back.
Yeah, right? I would probably lean that way as well.
My wife's calling me.
Bold, or just put her on the Fox.
Yeah, you can do that, or you can you can give your bold prediction, Ross. Bold prediction and aims coming up, or Chris.
So yours is 42 points.
42.
Mine is, we're gonna see a lot of sacks, and I don't have a number for it, but I think that defensive line is good enough, combined with the position change swapping we've seen at linebacker. I think it frees up the linebackers. I think they blitz Willie Harvey a lot. I think we see a lot of sacks on Saturday from Iowa State. More sacks than you're used to seeing. I think Jaquan Bailey gets back there. I think Ray Lima gets a sack. Give me Willie Harvey a couple of sacks in that game. I think Iowa State really makes a statement with its defensive line.
Seven, eight sacks?
Yeah. I think that would be my bold prediction for Iowa State.
All right, Ross,
I'll give you a bold prediction. I think you get a special teams or defense touchdown. That'll be my...
Well, that bodes well, because if you get a lot of sacks, then that puts pressure on a quarterback. Yep. And Northern Iowa is a much better throwing team this year than they will be running, we think. I mean, it's who knows? That's why it's so hard. Like, I don't know if you guys had the same problem, but, like, how in the hell do you really analyze Northern Iowa right now? You have seven new coaches, and you can't watch them. I told Ryma that when he was on our show last week. You can't watch them. Like, I'm not... Once that first game's done and they're out of sight, out of mind, and it's not because I don't care about them, it's just it's impossible to keep tabs on.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what Northern Iowa's going to do.
All right, boys, you ready for season predictions? I want to know what you guys think.
Yeah, I've been browsing lines for this weekend, Mark.
Yeah. You got any juicy tidbits? You got any locks you want to throw out there?
I have a lock. I don't want to completely dilute our lock segment for Friday.
Yep. You're fine. You're fine.
Here's one I really like with the research I've done, Mark. Troy at plus 11 over Boise.
Okay.
Look at Boise against the number last year.
Yeah.
This is one where Boise still has a national brand, but they really don't have that type of team anymore.
Yep.
Their lines are always inflated.
Yeah.
They're always inflated. And Troy's actually pretty good. They'll be one of the best teams in the Sun Belt this year. I actually like Troy money line.
Wow. Outright upset.
I like him to win the game.
That's crazy.
And then I like the over for Texas and Maryland at 56. Those would be my two big ones.
Are we posting this today? Because I was going to give a take for tonight.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we can do that. What are you laughing at with the Troy take, Ross? Ross over there laughing.
That's at Boise State, right?
I have one that I really like for tonight, too.
All right.
Coppin State's club football team over Salisbury. Is that where we're going?
I like Memphis at 25.5 tonight. That's a name the score.
Big line. Yeah. Okay, big line.
Louisiana Monroe is one of the worst teams in the country last year.
My hot take for tonight to get your betting season off on the right foot, the Oklahoma State game is going over the 69.5 points.
Ooh. Wow, that's a lot of points. I actually agree.
Oklahoma State Tulsa tonight is going to light up the scoreboard.
I think I jumped on that one.
Ross is smirking.
I can't stop with. What game did you just throw out there?
Troy and Boise. Man,
yeah. Come on. Troy.
I feel like this is when your friend tells you, "I put some money down on a WNBA game."
Take the under if it's WNBA. Take the under.
Now let me say something about betting here, by the way, because
okay,
what you're implying is. I assume you're implying this, is that those lesser games, it's like, why would you mess with those? Why would you mess with those? However,
because they're not the one,
Vegas
no
can
money
only pay
on
attention to so much, right?
Yeah,
and they're gonna pay massive attention to Ohio State versus Notre Dame.
That's why it's really hard to bet the NFL.
Everybody's on there. Another thing, too, in the month of September, when football gets rolling, I think that's where you see some really faulty baseball lines.
Yes.
So if you track baseball in September, I think you're gonna see some crap numbers.
Yeah, I don't think you understood. I'm not...
Do you remember my record betting spring training this year?
I do, and it still concerns
that's pathetic,
me.
Though.
It's 21-4 in spring training baseball this year.
Mark, you just touched on why I'm laughing at him. It has nothing to do with the strategy behind it. I think that's fantastic. I mean, if you're going to go into a casino, you might as well try to increase your odds as much as you possibly can. Totally get that.
Yep.
I'm laughing at the spring training baseball WNBA aspect of being able to break down Boise State and Troy.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, you just wait till tomorrow at 5:15 when we do our lock segment.
I am so excited.
I'm juiced up. I'm ready to go.
If you really were 21-4, then yeah, you should.
Spring training baseball this year.
He was killing it with spring training baseball.
I was sending Ross my picks every day.
That's legit.
I actually think I tapped into something on the spring training baseball thing. Because there's, again, like, what does Vegas pay attention to? They ain't paying attention to that.
Yeah, but how do you bet on something when you know the people playing the sport don't care that much? That's what's
tough.
Dude,
I've covered spring training baseball before.
Yeah.
And I can attest to this. Like, when I was doing, for those who don't know, when I used to work in Southwest Iowa, we were Cardinals and Royals affiliates. So I would go and spend a couple of weeks at each spring training for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And those guys, like when the starters get pulled out of those games, in like the third inning, they hit the showers. They are gone by the time the fifth inning even starts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like Alex Gordon, like if you wanted to talk to Alex Gordon, like you had to be in the clubhouse in like the bottom of the third waiting on him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he was just gone.
Not much for the team camaraderie in spring training.
I'll give you my spring training tips next year when it rolls around.
All right, I'm ready for a bold prediction here for the season, right? Season win total, boys. Could we do Iowa State? We could do Iowa too, but let's do
I don't
Iowa
know
State.
How bold I can get with either of these.
All right, here we go. Iowa State is going to start the season 4-2.
Okay, who are they losing?
They're going to beat you and I.
Yep.
They're going to beat Iowa.
I agree
They're
with
gonna
that.
They're going to beat Akron.
Agree
They're
with
going
that.
To lose to Texas.
I
Hope they win.
That. I agree with that.
They're going to lose to Oklahoma.
Agree with that.
And they're going to beat Kansas. There's 4-2.
I'm right with you.
To start the season.
I am right with you.
All right, that leaves six games, all right? So here's your out of the last six, here's the game that I think they likely will not win if I had to put money on it right now. I think that's Oklahoma State.
Nope, not happening.
They have them at home, but Oklahoma State's loaded. Every other game you look at, Texas Tech, TCU, West Virginia, Baylor, K-State are winnable. Doesn't mean they will. They could lose them all, but I see an avenue there. I think they'll beat Texas Tech. We just beat them 66-10 last season.
I'm with you.
With an NFL quarterback. I don't think we get TCU.
I agree with you. I think they're the most underrated team in the league.
I think we have a chance
Take
at West Virginia.
Take the over on their win total,
We have
by
a
the
chance
way.
At West Virginia. Oklahoma State beats us. Baylor, who the hell knows? Who knows? You know, that's a complete unknown, in my opinion, this year, based on everything they've gone through.
The only thing we know about Baylor is their defense is actually really good. Like, this is going to be a totally different Baylor team than most people. Their defense is loaded. They may have a top three or four defense in the Big 12, which obviously isn't saying much. But they're actually – so what? Another thing I would do if I was going to bet Baylor – this year, early on in the season, I'd take a lot of unders with them because I don't think that they're going to have that up-tempo offense that they have, and I think their defense is fantastic. So that's the only I have Iowa State beating Baylor.
So final prediction for me, 6-6.
Yeah.
7-5 would be fantastic. 6-6. I think they get Texas Tech. I think they get either West Virginia or K-State for the other one. 6-6. Bowl game, baby.
Mark, it's like you're in my brain.
Oh, yeah.
That's the exact analysis I would give of that Iowa State schedule.
Now,
I
mean, really interested in Ross's take on this.
Ross has Iowa State at 2 wins.
So Ross has got us getting Northern Iowa and Akron.
I actually have you
Northern Iowa losing to the Hawks.
I have you beating Akron and Oklahoma State, actually, the 2 wins.
If Iowa State loses to Northern Iowa again, I might
change
quit my role as publisher.
And by the way, that's not what my prediction is.
All right, Hawk fan, let's hear it.
Mark, I'm exactly with you. The only change I have is the Iowa game. That's it. And unfortunately, that one game takes you from 6-6 to 5-7.
We'd have to pick one up somewhere else.
That's where Chris and I think there are, you hit on a couple. Your optimism with Kansas State in the beginning of that breakdown was shocking to me. Playing at K-State at the end of the year.
You got to remember, though, a couple things. One, if we're playing for a bowl game, that's huge.
Yeah, but you got to remember, Kansas State will be playing. Like, they will be playing for either a spot at the Big 12 title game or the prestige of being in a bowl game.
But you have to remember 2 years ago what we did at K-State.
Yeah,
that was a win. So we are very capable of doing that. We have a much better team.
Chris, you would know this better. You have a better, no doubt, the Iowa State's better right now than they were 2 years ago. Isn't Kansas State better than they were 2 years ago?
I would argue that every team, I had this conversation with a friend this morning who called me about the season. I think every team in the Big 12 other than
TCU?
I think every team in the Big 12 is better. I think TCU is better.
Okay.
I think they're a lot better.
I thought you were going to say from 2 years ago.
No, I'm saying from this year.
Well, Baylor. Okay.
This year
Baylor
to last year.
List.
I think Baylor might. Okay, I would say Baylor's iffy. I don't think West Virginia will be as good. Mm-hmm. They lost a ton on defense. Yeah. Kansas is better. Iowa State's better. And I would say I can't say Texas Tech will be better. They lost Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Tech could be the one that's
so
jumped
like,
out at me.
I think of the 10-team league, 8 teams are better than they were a year ago.
Mm-hmm. I'd say Chris and I talked about this a lot on the show. I'd be more optimistic about that game at Baylor for several reasons than at Kansas State. I mean, Baylor's not as good as K-State. Baylor has a lot of stuff that
I think
be
Kansas
going
State could
crazy.
Win the league. I really still think
Baylor could be checked out at that point.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's a weird place to play. That doesn't always necessarily mean a bad thing.
Yeah.
So There's a chance for you to pick, even losing to Iowa. If in 2 weeks we're on the radio and talking about Iowa having beat, it doesn't mean your bowl chances are done. So that's the one thing I would fear. Listening to Chris and listening to a lot of my Iowa State friends, it seems like a lot of people have broke down this schedule the same way, and I don't want to be sitting here on September 10th and have friends going, well, our bowl chances are done because we lost to Iowa. There's other games you can win here.
Oh, for sure.
You guys both have them beating Texas. That's another example of that. You had them losing. I'm sorry.
They'll split Iowa and Texas one way or the other.
And that's what I was okay, that's what I meant to say. Yeah. Even if you lose to Iowa, that's a game you could pick up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think they split those
games. Take it right away.
Telling me that this team that's won 8 games in 3 years, this program's going to start 4-0. I'm like, I need to see it at some point.
If you really want to go total Iowa State on this thing, Coach Campbell, here's what you do. Here's how you get to 6-6, okay? You beat Northern Iowa, you lose to Iowa. You beat Akron. You beat Texas. You beat Oklahoma and lose to Kansas. That's if you want to go total Iowa State on this thing, here's how you do this, okay?
When was the last time we beat Oklahoma? Early 90s?
1991.
Oh, man.
Lose
Jim
at Tech.
Walton, I believe, did it in Norman. Yeah.
You lose at Tech, then you beat TCU like 73-4 or something crazy.
You really want to see just an impressive statistic is Iowa State's series with Oklahoma. As many times as those two teams have played, I think Iowa State's won like twice,
man,
or three times maybe.
Yeah.
They tied them once. It's insane that like you couldn't just like
that the law of averages doesn't work out
slip
at
up.
Some point.
Because Oklahoma wasn't this like there was a time there where
they weren't the powerhouse, right?
All right, Ross
Switzer.
Okay,
can I piss you off, Ross?
Go ahead, man. Good try. I don't.
All right, You're a really hard person to piss off, by the way. All right, let me go through my take on the Iowa schedule.
Okay.
And I'm going to preface this by saying that Iowa is scrappy as hell. Every year they win a game. You don't think they're going to win. Yeah. They surprise you, et cetera. But just paper. I'm looking at paper here.
Okay.
That's it, okay?
All right, you got them. I know you got them losing to Iowa State.
All right, here you go. So Wyoming, they're going to win that game.
Okay.
Okay, Iowa State, they're going to lose. They're 1-1. North Texas, that's a win, obviously, 2-1.
Hmm.
Penn State comes to town.
Yeah.
They're losing that game.
Yeah, I think so.
They're 2-2.
Okay.
They go to Michigan State. Not an easy place to play. I think they lose that game. They're 2-3. Illinois comes in. That's a win for Iowa. They're 3-3. Northwestern at Northwestern. One of the peskier teams in the whole nation, especially to play there at that place. There's just something weird about that place. Got a great coach. I think they lose that game. They're now 3-4. Minnesota comes in. New coach. Toss-up game. Okay?
Disagree.
Argument. Iowa wins that game. We'll get them at 4-4. Okay? Ohio State, not happening. 4-5. They go to Wisconsin. They lose that. They're 4-6. Purdue comes in, wins that game. 5-6. At Nebraska to end the season. I got them at 5-7, Ross, for my breakdown. I want to know where I'm crazy.
You're crazy. Okay, again, I disagree with you on Iowa State. I think that the Minnesota game is not, I don't think it's a toss-up. I think Iowa beats Minnesota. I think Iowa can beat Michigan State and win that game.
I haven't beaten them, too.
Yep. So, thank you. My wife was calling because she wanted to bring me lunch, by the way. So
wow.
That's my.
That's
delivery service.
What did I get here? Is this
right
a
there.
Euro?
It's a Euro. I didn't know you guys were here.
Oh,
no nice. Euros for the Cyclone fans. I see how it goes.
You got them a gyro, eh?
A gyro.
Thanks, Aaron. Love you.
So Ross things- always says he loves his wife on the air. It's such a fraud.
She knows.
Oh, man.
She knows I just do it for the
He's contractually
for the folks.
To do that. Yeah.
My wife hates my guts. She would never bring me lunch.
And that game at Nebraska is another one. I mean, those are the swing games, I
so
guess.
So I'm 5-7. It sounds like, if I had to guess, you're 7-5?
I think that's what I came up with at the end of this.
Yeah, I had them at 6-6.
I think I had them at 7-5 because the Iowa State game.
But are you not shocked if it's 5-7?
No, not at all. Not at all. This. Again, swing games. And right now you're a one-dimensional team. I mean, going back to our first conversation, that you don't know for sure that you are, but right now on paper, when you're looking at these, that's what you have to look at. You have no quarterback returning. You have no receivers returning. You're going to be a one-dimensional team against some really good defenses. Because all those teams that you mentioned, all of those, Mark, are good defenses. They're not great. They're good defenses.
Yeah.
So if Iowa State can figure them out, can shut them down in that one dimension and hold them to be in one dimensional, then they win that game. If Nebraska and Michigan State can do that, Minnesota, if they can do that same thing, then they win those games and the Hawkeyes end the season
with 5 wins.
The
good thing about it is, like, the West, like, there's no, like, even Wisconsin, who's the best team, they're not, like, the style of ball that they play compared to everybody else, like, they could get upset any week.
That's the thing, and with the Hawkeyes having a pretty stingy defense this year against, you play one powerhouse offense, and that's Ohio State. That's it. That's the only offense on that schedule that is...
And even their offense,
wow, like, factor
compared to like some of the other elite teams in the country, they're
so they you have a good defense going up against a group of offenses that aren't going to put up a ton of points. You're going to be in these games and have a chance to win them.
Iowa seems like one of those teams that every year they have a shocking game. They come out and roll somebody,
or they play a game way too
like
close,
like the Minnesota game. Yeah. When they, I feel like too, Mark. We're such Big 12 guys now.
Yeah.
Our brains, it's funny, I see this all the time on KXNO, where the Big 10 people and the Big 12 people think about things differently. Thing is, in the Big 12, like the elite teams, like the Baylors those years and like the TC, it's like to beat them, you're going to have to score 60 points.
Yeah.
Some teams just aren't capable of doing that, even if the defense sucks. You're just not capable of it.
Well, we're in the Big Iowa 10, State, like, Baylor last year just, was that example.
Yeah.
It's like, we got to keep scoring and we got no chance.
And the way Iowa has the ability to just bleed the clock.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're so good up front. Like, it's just an equalizer. And Iowa State has never really had that. So, like, the chances of you knocking off a team like a Wisconsin is to Iowa, which is a lot harder to do.
It's a really stupid argument, but for the purposes of radio and podcasts, I guess it's fun. Have you guys pulled yet this year the reverse Iowa and Iowa State schedule, Iowa State on Iowa's? Because that's like, oh, you got it easy in your schedule, or everybody has that argument, but it is interesting to see how your predictions change.
I don't know. We don't do much of that stuff because I feel like it's already, the show's build is a Hawkeye versus a Cyclone, and we...
Yeah.
Why haven't we? I don't think we've ever done that.
That Euro smells fantastic, by the way. Let's plug something. Where's that from? I need to go get one.
Probably.
It's a gyro.
Is that from Aaron's Kitchen?
So since we're not going to give him a free plug, because I'm going to... No, it's not from...
We're not giving
him
a free plug.
She goes to Ted's Coney Island.
Oh, really?
Not a fan, man. My wife thinks it's great. I'm not a fan.
But you're eating it, right?
You like AD says AD's phenomenal.
Shaking his head. He loves Ted's Coney Island. I'm going
to
eat it.
Is
no
the
doubt.
Only one over on 86th?
AD, AD you can chime in if you need to.
No, there's this
one. Oh, just down here?
Oh, there's one on 86th, too. I didn't know that. We usually go to the one here on Ingersoll because we live here in the neighborhood.
So. I might have to get me one of those. It's making me hungry, man.
And AD can't chime in because I threw the control of the studio over to the other room. Sorry, man. Yeah, he's looking at me. He's talking in the microphone.
By the way, we're not at Charterhouse today. We're at KXNO because Ross and I are going to interview a WWE guy.
I love, by the way, for people that have never seen this studio, it's kind of like it's half designed. So you got a Bull Durham poster, that's nice. Field of Dreams, which is nice. And then you got a cool NCAA banner, Welcome to Des Moines, that Connolly probably gave you guys.
No. Not at all. You're wrong.
Did you steal it?
No. We didn't. Come on. Why you look at the Eastsider and ask if we
stole
it?
Because you're an Eastsider. I mean, that's what you do when you're from Ames.
That, you know what? It's the antithesis of stealing. The cops gave us that.
Oh, did they? The cops, like 5-0? Did he give that to you?
Well, yeah, a cop gave it to Burnside. Okay.
The other thing I was going to say, though, is every other wall space is just the KXNO logo is just kind of slapped all over the place.
Williams is trying to do a panoramic photo, but I think he's doing it the wrong direction.
Yeah,
can you do it that way?
Yeah, I just
he tried to go right to left on his panoramic.
I didn't know you couldn't do that.
Yeah, what do you mean it's half?
Well, it's kind of like, okay, let's get some cool stuff in here. And then you're like, all right, that's all the cool stuff we have. So the rest of it's just our logos everywhere. Keep going with the posters and the cool memorabilia. Like,
what's wrong with our posters? We like the KXNO logo.
Nothing, one of them would be sufficient.
No, you want to splash it around.
It's splashed.
I like our little splash back here of KXNO stuff. Did you see the one behind you over there in that studio?
I did.
Yeah.
It's splashed everywhere.
Well,
that panos suck.
I was even as still as I possibly could be for that. Anyway.
Here I have a picture of Randy Peterson and Tommy Burch I was going to send to him. I thought it was super
good idea. So yeah, there's my Ted's Coney Island.
I actually want to know who brought in the posters. Are those yours?
No, this is all Burnside. We needed a woman's touch in this studio so bad because you think that we had the KXNO splashed up now. You should have seen it was just me and AD.
Yeah.
We had hundreds of those things around
here.
Well, because we were told to do something like that. So we went after it.
I mean, this one over here is legit. You got like a tarp thing. That's
a flag.
Sign.
Come on. That. It's called a flag.
It's a flag. It's got like four grommets on it. It's,
well,
it's,
we added the grommets on the other side to.
Can
do
I
that.
Introduce a couple of new Cyclone Fanatic sponsors, by the way?
Yeah, you bet.
Not Ted's Coney Island.
Because I'm excited because I'm going to be doing some decorating.
Brought
in my
to you
office.
By Ted's Coney Island. Don't go there because Ross says it sucks.
But AD and my wife give it raving reviews, so go ahead, guys.
Yeah.
Templeton Rye is on board.
Ooh.
Is a new Cyclone Fanatic sponsor.
That's like a real sponsor.
I'm really excited about that because I've loved Templeton Rye for years, even before it was like super, it had that super trendy stage where everybody was obsessed with it. But I love it. It's one of my favorite whiskeys. And then Exile Brewing Company as well. So we've got a couple of new to, you know, we talk a lot about gambling and booze because we're just stand-up people here on the podcast.
I hope that I know.
Go buy some Templeton Rye and some Exile Brewing Company.
I hope I smell a gift certificate in my future if I know the right people.
Wait a minute.
For Exile.
Shouldn't your guests get something out of this?
You're like the Chicago Cubs, man. After the game, they interview a player for 3 seconds. They're like, for showing up, he's going to get a watch from this place. They
Van and Bonnie give you like trinkets for...
Do they?
Yes. Yeah, they give their... I think Murph and Andy. Don't Murph and Andy
Yeah, why
give,
don't
like,
we get to give... Like, Murph and Andy give... I co-hosted once, and I got, like, a gift card. I'm like, what the hell?
Wait a minute. I've co-hosted and never received Jack.
Yeah, I got a Mad Meatball gift card one time.
I go to Mad Meatball.
That sounds like something to take
I
up with your sports
director. I love
director
Mad Meatball.
There.
I think... And they're not a sponsor of ours, so, like, I'm not just shilling here. I think their pizza... is as good as any I've had in Des Moines. Yeah. Like, it's so good.
They do a great job down there. And they'll let you do about anything. I mean, you can basically create your own pizza down there.
So
we talk
good.
To them.
Man, you guys are making me hungry. Mm.
One more plug.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have our first Cyclone Fanatic radio show of the year tonight.
Yeah.
We have a new location. Mm-hmm. We will be at Whiskey River in Ankeny.
It's a nice place.
Really nice. And they're excited to have us there. They're going to put us up on the rooftop.
Ooh.
So it'll be like a little Cyclone Fanatic party. Mark, you should come over tonight, and I'll buy you a burger.
I can do that.
Some beer. You should.
6-7.
We're on from 6 to 7, and then from after that, I'm gonna stick around and watch some games and hang out, and we're just encouraging a little fan get together.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you.
That's all I have.
Let me ask you guys, Chris. I know every meal you eat is at Fuzzy's Tacos, or used to be. Maybe they're not sponsoring.
It's the Fuzzy's Taco Shop.
It's the Fuzzy's Taco Shop.
Okay.
Mark.
And I heard the new commercial where it's just Fuzzy's repeated like 35 times.
Yeah, we'll probably have to get rid of that one, I think, because now it's the Fuzzy's Taco Shop.
It's the Fuzzy's Taco Shop.
Not Fuzzy's.
It's the Fuzzy's Taco Shop. Two locations, Ankeny and downtown.
Three locations,
Ankeny, downtown.
And up in Ames.
Perfect.
Campus town.
Let me ask you this, Ross, because I'm always on the hunt for some good food, but I'm not talking about... I want, like, off-the-beaten-path stuff.
Ooh.
And this is going to go more back to
like
a little bit of your... What's that?
You like tenderloins?
Tenderloins are good. Let me give you an example of something. Okay. I read an article or I heard something or whatever about the sandwich called The Killer. And it's at this deli place, not Manhattan's, but it's at like a store over on the east side.
Are you talking about Graziano Brothers?
No. He's giving you some symbols in
there. B&B. Oh, B&B is what he's... Yeah,
so it's like
absolutely.
It's like a grocery store.
Yep.
But then in the back, you go to the meat counter, and they make these sandwiches. Now, a normal person would never even know about this place. I think I literally read something about it, went there, and the sandwich was amazing. Do you know any other places like that in Des Moines where people...
That's a good one. Okay, because I...
What about the place that's right down the street here? We had Murph's birthday lunch there. Embers.
Jesse's Embers.
Really
good. That's a good spot.
Dude,
you know where that is on Ingersoll?
Yeah. Phenomenal.
Yeah, that's like a sit-down, order a steak type of... that's a tiny little steakhouse place that serves some good food. Let's see. Mark, I had a couple of them going through my head until you got me thinking about B&B. Graziano's is a good little spot. I'd say Crunkwich. You been to Crunkwich yet?
No.
It's over here on Ingersoll, and they have some interesting stuff. Now, they have... Part of their menu is just ramen noodle... recipes.
Yep.
But then they also have sandwiches, and they've got edamame and things like that. So Crunkwich is one. I hit a new place on the south side the day of the eclipse. I went down to the Angry Goldfish is what it's called.
Okay.
It's on Southwest 9th.
Yep.
Little tiny spot just a few blocks south of the high school on
Hopefully
the west side of the road.
Serving
east
goldfish.
Side of the road. Well, they do serve the goldfish crackers.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
All
about
right.
it.
Okay.
Are you a breakfast guy?
I can be. Not every day.
There's a spot downtown called Vivian's that does... They do a couple different versions of Eggs Benedict, One of them has fried green tomatoes on the bottom of it, yep. And it is like mouth-watering.
You ever seen
delicious.
That movie? Great movie.
I don't think I have. It's a chick flick.
What movie?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
What? Fried green tomatoes. How the hell have you seen fried... I'm not even going to...
Yeah, don't start with him. Don't start with him.
Right.
Movies.
Watch it. Anyway. Just watch it.
Those are some spots I'd recommend. Those are
I had
those
a good breakfast over at... I'm drawing a blank. What's the restaurant across the river from Principal Park?
Mullet's.
Mullet's. I had a good breakfast over there.
My dad and I usually go to Mullet's once a weekend because their biscuits and gravy is the best biscuits
I think that's
and gravy
what I
in
had.
Town. Yeah, it really is.
It was really, really good. So
Drake Diner is a good spot still. You know, it's been a consistent one for a long time. Mm-hmm. I do Waveland quite a bit for breakfast.
Yeah.
I live over by the Roosevelt area, so La Mie and the Cheese Shop are
the Cheese Shop serve lunch?
Well,
breakfast?
Now the cheese, remember they opened the cheese store here in Ingersoll also, which is like their restaurant version of it.
Yeah.
But they still serve like cheese plates and meat plates at the at the cheese shop. So.
Okay. Yeah, if you have not gone to B&B's, that's out of the way. I mean, it's not a restaurant. It just isn't. You literally stand in line in the back of a grocery store.
It's B&B Grocery Meat and Deli.
Yeah. And I went there and I'm like, is this the right place?
Southeast 6th.
So yeah, if you want a good sandwich, go. And I believe it's called The Killer.
Yeah.
Am I right on that?
Yeah, fantastic. They've got a killer. They have a bunch of them. You mentioned Manhattan. I like Manhattan a lot.
That's a well-known spot, though. I know a lot of people, even a snobby, what would it be, an Ankenian? Is that what I am?
Sure.
Ankenyite?
I think Ankenian. Probably. I don't know.
We venture down there to...
The Ian is the big thing at the end when you're talking about... Like, you're an East Sider, is what you would be called.
Yeah, he's an East Sider.
What about Andrew? He's from Urbandale. An Urbandalian?
Urbandalean. weren't you a Pleasant Hill guy though?
Yeah.
So like, is it fair to call you an East Sider?
So here's the deal, man. Being an East Sider, I'm serious.
It's a lifestyle.
It's not about where you grew up. It's really not.
It's a state of mind.
Yeah. What have you done? What do you do for the community? Because there are people that are born over there that aren't East Siders.
Okay.
They're just not.
When you say state of mind, what jumps to mind for me, again, growing up in Ames, is the difference is someone from Ames says, man, I hope we can talk this out. Someone from the East Side is like, let's go. Let's throw it down.
There's a much deeper conversation. You have me on a podcast in the summer next year. We'll talk about this. Yeah.
Braun Strowman's about to call in.
See, I know that's a wrestler because you told me, but I have no idea who that is.
He's fighting Brock Lesnar here in a couple weeks.
When you guys tell me that you got John Cena calling in, I'll be impressed.
That's never going to happen.
Dude, John Cena, you see that video that came out this week where he's reading letters from fans and crying? That was a pretty good video, man.
Dude, my daughter, I shit you not last night, she's eating dinner.
Is it weird to hear him swear like that when you're like, we're on the radio?
Especially looking into that microphone. I was like, ah.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah,
I noticed this is the first podcast I didn't cuss.
We're eating dinner last night.
No.
And mom's working, so we do things a little differently when mom's working. Yep. We had WWE on while we're eating dinner.
Yep.
And she starts, Dad, turn on John Cena. Like, she wanted me to fast forward to when John Cena rolls out. And she goes, John Cena's hot.
Yep.
She's 2.5.
Yeah, well, he's a good-looking guy. Did you guys see that video or not, the one I'm talking about?
No. Oh, Braun Strowman's calling in right now.
Yep.
We better go.
We gotta go.
If you haven't seen it, Google that. John Cena cancer video.
Thanks for listening today. Mark's got great real estate advice.
I assume they're great.
It's coming up next here on 14th. Here on the Fawcast, the Charterhouse Fawcast, Cyclone Fanatic. Enjoy the games this week, guys.
Hey guys, Mark here. Let me tell you a little bit of a difference between a bad lender and a great lender. And when you're buying or selling a house, a lender becomes very important because they touch the transaction no matter what side you're on. I recently got a deal on a house. I was the listing agent, and a buyer brought a deal to me and warned me up front that we are probably going to be delayed. And this was more than 30 days before the close. They warned me of that because the lender isn't very good. And we'd had a couple other agents in our office that had recently worked with the same lender and had delayed closings. And lo and behold, the end of the deal came and we got delayed. And I reached out to the lender and was told it was not their fault, et cetera. But my point was that, or is, that three straight deals that our firm had with this agent, there were problems on all three. Now, I called a good friend of mine who's a lender, and I'll give his name out because I want you guys to use him. Tyler Osby is his name. Tyler works with Fairway Independent Mortgage. It's out of Urbandale, if you're local. Tyler has insane amounts of reviews. I think 400 five-star reviews, et cetera. And I called Tyler and I asked him, Tyler, in the last 5 years, how many times have you had a delay of more than 3 days on a deal? And Tyler said maybe once. All right, so think about this. You've got one lender that had three straight deals with our firm within a period of a few months that had delays on it. And then you've got a lender like Tyler that almost never has delays, has hundreds of five-star reviews, and is excellent. We send our buyers there because his motto is literally, I think it's under budget, no surprises, something else, whatever. It doesn't matter. But basically, his motto is exactly what he actually does. He tells you when it's going to close. It closes on time. He tells you what you got to bring to the table. That's always right, too. So what's the difference? Well, in my opinion, it's basically the way they conduct their business. It's systems. Tyler has amazing systems, so he's always ahead of things. He's ahead of the problems. Other lenders, the one I'm talking about, and others, don't seem to have those systems. They don't deal with problems until the problem's on their desk. And at that point, it's too late. The transaction's already screwed up. People are delayed. And when delays happen in real estate, it's terrible. People have moving trucks lined up. They've got other houses to close on. Oftentimes, there's a domino effect where one busted deal affects three others. It's a nightmare. Go with a great lender. How do you find one? Well, you can go to places like Angie's List and look at reviews. You can ask an agent like me. Agents like me know who good lenders are, so we can refer you to those people. Don't go with the cheapest. It's not worth it. You're going to get burnt. But having a good lender involved in the transaction, again, whether you're a buyer or seller, and when you're a seller, you can't always control who the lender is. When you're a buyer, you can absolutely control it. Having a great lender makes all the difference in the world on a great transaction. A great lender is just as important as a great agent. And when they're both great, you're going to have a smooth transaction. All right, guys, that's it. If you have any questions, let me know. I'm easy to reach at Twitter, on Fanatic, etc. Again, and also, if we can refer you to anywhere in the country to find an agent, whether you're buying or selling, we'd love to do that. We make a little bit of money when that happens, and we can support Psycho Fanatic. All right, guys, thanks a lot. We'll see you next week.